took up a little bit from last week. For a month now, I have been feeling worse. Every time I cough, I feel my lungs disintegrating. It sometimes happens that I feel the complete decay of my own corpse. It's hard to express how great the suffering this is. Although I fully agreed this with my will, it's nevertheless a great suffering for nature, greater than wearing a hair shirt or a flagellation to the point of blood. I felt it especially when I was going to the lavatory. It took great effort for me to eat anything because food made me sick. I also started at this time to suffer from pains in my intestines. All highly seasoned dishes caused me such immense pain that I spent many nights writhing in pain and tears for the sake of sinners. However, I asked my confessor what to do, whether I should continue to suffer this for the sake of sinners or ask the superiors for an exception by way of minding food. He decided that I should ask the superior for milder food, and thus I followed his directions, seeing that this humiliation was more pleasing to God. So he asked a special permission, you know, if you follow the law, the rules, nobody could say something against you, but you do something special. But it's a kind of humiliation also. One day, I began to doubt as to how it was possible to feel this continual decaying of the body and at the same time to be able to walk and work. Perhaps this was some kind of an illusion, yet it cannot be an illusion because it caused me such terrible pains. As I was thinking about this, one of the sisters came to converse with me. After a minute or two, she made a terribly real phrase and said, "Sister, I smell a corpse here, as though it were decaying. Oh, how dreadful it is." I said to her, "Do not be frightened, sister. That smell of a corpse comes from me." She was very surprised and said she could not stand it any longer. After she had gone, I understood that God had allowed her to sense this so that I would have no doubts, but that He was no less than miraculously keeping the knowledge of this suffering from the whole community. O my Jesus, only You know the full depth of this sacrifice. Nevertheless, when in the refectory, I still had to bear being the object of the frequent suspicion that I was being fussy about my food. At such times, as always, I hastened to the tabernacle and bowed before the ciborium and there draw strength to accept God's will. That which I have written is not yet everything. Today, during confession, breaking the wafer with me spiritually, He gave me the following wishes: be as faithful as you can to the grace of God. Secondly, beg God's mercy for yourself and for the whole world, because we are all in great need of God's mercy. 2 days before Christmas, these words were read in the refectory. Tomorrow is the birth of Jesus Christ according to the flesh. all these words, my soul was pierced by the light and love of God, and I gained deeper knowledge of the mystery of the incarnation of the Son of God. How great is the mercy of God contained in the mystery of the incarnation of the Son of God. Today the Lord gave me knowledge of his anger toward mankind, which deserves to have its days shortened because of its sins. But I learned that the world's existence is maintained by chosen souls, that is, the religious orders. Woe to the world when there will be a lack of religious orders. So people consecrate themselves in spiritual life. It is the way to save the world, because they do penance, they pray more, because the world is no more God. Not only not prayer, but things doing against God's will. Just like the same-sex marriage in Ireland. You know, now in many countries, it's going to, now in Australia, they will try this. But they don't think, I think in the near future in Hong Kong. I perform each deed in the face of death. I do it now as I would want to see it in my last hour. Although life, like the wind, will pass swiftly by, no need undertaking for God will perish. I feel the complete decay of my organism. Although I am still living and working, death will be no tragedy for me, because I have long felt it. His body already, the smell of decaying body, you know. So he is already experiencing that. When you go to the earth, it's decaying, the same smell. Although it is very unpleasant for nature to constantly smell one's own corpse, yet it is not so terrible when the soul is filled with God's light. Because in it, faith, hope, love, and contrition are awakened. Daily, I make great efforts to take part in community life, thereby gaining graces for soul's salvation. No matter where she goes, you know, people have a different eye on her. It's a kind of humiliation, apart from his body's smell, and also from outside, the humiliation for people. Shielding them by my sacrifice from the fire of hell. For the salvation of even a single soul, it is worth the sacrifice of a lifetime and the bearing of the great sacrifices and torments, seeing how great the glory it gives God. Lord, although you often make known to me the thunders of your anger vanishes before lowly souls. Although you are great, Lord, you allow yourself to be overcome by lowly and deeply humble soul. O humility, the most precious of virtues, how few souls possess you. I see only a semblance of this virtue everywhere, but not the virtue itself. Lord, reduce me to nothingness in my own eyes, that I may find grace in yours. Humility, completely lose yourself to the point of your not existing. We, the pride in ourselves, because we say we are offended. This is pride. If you're nothing, nobody can hurt you. You don't have to fight back. You fight back because you, me, being hurt, the self, there's no two ways, only one way. Either no, the self, nothing, or the self is great. Just the Blessed Trinity. The Blessed Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the relationship. The Son not exists, so that the Father's intention, will, the Father's intention can be fulfilled in Him. If we think, I feel better in this way, there's no unity. When you say unity, Jesus knows Himself completely in His Father's will. As a human being, not always easy. Thy will be done. And Jesus, moment by moment, living this relationship, losing Himself. 1937, Christmas Eve. After Holy Communion, the Mother of God gave me to experience the anxious concerns she had in her heart because of the Son of God. But this anxiety was permeated with such frequency of abandonment to the will of God that I should call it rather a delight than an anxiety. I understood how my soul ought to accept the will of God in all things. Jesus did it. And we to follow Him. Jesus said, come and follow me. And He do everything in God's will. It is a pity I cannot write this the way I experienced it. My soul was plunged in deep recollection all day long. Nothing can tear me away from this recollection. Neither duties nor the business I had with late people. Before supper, I went into the chapel for a moment to break the wafer spiritually with those beloved persons. That means a spiritual communion. So dear to my heart, though far away. First, I steeped myself in profound prayer and asked the Lord for graces for them all as a group and then for each one individually. Jesus gave me to know how much this pleased Him, and my soul was filled with even greater joy to see that God loves in a special way those whom we love. After I had gone into the refectory during the reading, my whole being found itself plunged in God. In theory, I saw God looking at us with great pleasure. I remained alone with the Heavenly Father. At that moment, I had a deeper knowledge of the three divine persons whom we shall contemplate for all eternity, and after millions of years shall discover that we have just barely begun our contemplation. Today, the Feast of Blessed Trinity. Oh, how great is the mystery of God, who are now meant to participate in such a high degree in His divine happiness. At the same time, what great pain pierces my heart that so many souls have spurned this happiness. When we began to share the wafer, a sincere and mutual love reigned among us. Mother Superior expressed this wish to me, "Sister, the works of God proceed slowly, so do not be in a hurry." In general, the sisters sincerely wished me great love, which is that which I desire above all. So these wishes truly came from the heart, except for one sister. who had a concealed malice in the wishes. Although this did not cause me much pain, for my soul was pervaded by God. Yet this enlightened me as to why God communicates so little with a soul of this kind. And I learned that such a soul is always asking itself, even in holy things, "Oh, how good the Lord is, Lord, letting me go astray. I know that He will guard me, even jealously, but only as long as I remain little, because it is with such that the great Lord likes to commune. As to proud souls, He watches them from afar and opposes them." So all the sisters except one, I think, is jealous of her. So no good to her. She knows it. You can feel. Apparently, "Oh, how nice sister, how good." At the back, speaking evil against her. She knows. Many times we experience the same thing on earth. Last time, no, Jesus was telling Faustina to practice the three virtues. Do you still remember? Humility, the first humility. The second is purity. The third, love. It, I think, so true. Love is a kind of abstract. If you be humble, it's more practical. We are so proud. We cannot words against, little thing against us, we cannot accept. We go away. Although I wanted to keep vigil for some time before the midnight mass, I could not do so. I fell asleep at once, and I was even feeling very weak. But when they rang the bells for the midnight mass, I jumped to my feet at once and dressed, although with great difficulty, because I felt sick again and again. When I arrived at the midnight mass, from the very beginning, I steeped myself in deep recollection, during which time I saw the stable of Bethlehem filled with great radiance. The Blessed Virgin, all lost in the deepest of love, was wrapping Jesus in swaddling clothes. But St. Joseph was still asleep. Only after the Mother of God put Jesus in the manger did the light of God awaken Joseph, who also prayed. But after a while, I was left alone with the infant Jesus, who stretched out His little hands to me. I understood that I was to take Him in my arms. Jesus pressed His head against my heart and gave me to know by His profound gaze how good He found it to be next to my heart. At that moment, Jesus disappeared and the bell was ringing for Holy Communion. My soul was languishing with joy, but toward the end of the Mass, I felt so weak that I had to leave the chapel and go to my cell, as I felt unable to take part in the community tea. But my joy throughout the whole Christmas season was immense, because my soul was unceasingly united with the Lord. I've come to know that every soul would like to have divine comforts, but it is by no means willing to forsake human comforts. whereas these two things cannot be reconciled. During the Christmas season, I've sensed that certain souls have been praying for me. I rejoice that such spiritual union and knowledge exists already here on earth. O my Jesus, praise to you for all times. In the greatest torments of soul, I'm always alone. But no, not alone, for I am with you, Jesus. But here, I'm speaking about other people. None of them understands my heart, but this does not surprise me anymore. Whereas I used to surprise when my intentions were condemned and wrongly interpreted. No, this does not surprise me now at all. People do not know how to perceive the soul. They see the body and they judge according to the body. But as distant as heaven is from earth, so distant are God's thoughts from our thoughts. I myself have experienced that quite often it happens. We see with our human eye. We don't see the soul. The Lord said to me, we should be of no concern to you how anyone else acts. You are to be my living reflection through love and mercy. I answered, Lord, but they often take advantage of my goodness. Many times we have the same argument, no? We do good to them and they take advantage of my goodness. Why have to do that? Being taken advantage by people. Respond. That makes no difference, my daughter. That is no concern of yours. As for you, be always merciful towards other people, and especially toward sinners. Whether they do it good to you or not, that's not your business. You just to be good. Oh, how painful, word of Jesus. Oh, how painful it is to me that souls so seldom unite themselves to me in Holy Communion. I wait for souls and they are indifferent towards me. I love them tenderly and sincerely and they distrust me. I want to lavish my graces on them and they don't want to accept them, to treat me as a dead object. Whereas my heart is full of love and mercy. In order that you may know at least some of my pain, imagine the most tender of mothers who has great love for her children, while those children spurn her love. Consider her pain. No one is in a position to console her. This is but a feeble image, a nightmare of my love. So take the mothers now, that you people can have a more understanding of men. You have no chance to be a mother. So when you become a mother, you know, even the child doesn't listen to you, against you. You can feel how much hurt you. You give so much love and then so much hurt in return. And that's God is 1,000 times more being hurt. Write, speak of my mercy. Tell souls where they are to look for solace. That is, in the tribunal of mercy, the sacrament of reconciliation, confession. There, the greatest miracles take place. And insistently repeated. To away oneself of this miracle, it is not necessary to go on a long, a great pilgrimage or to carry out some external ceremony. It suffices to come with faith to the feet of my representative and to reveal to him one's mystery, and a miracle of divine mercy will be fully demonstrated. You don't have to walk to Jerusalem for penance. Just a simple heart, go to confession, share your sinfulness, and you will get the grace. We're a soul like a decaying corpse, so that from a human standpoint, there would be no restoration and everything would already be lost. It is not so with God. The miracle of divine mercy restores that soul in full. Oh, how miserable are those who do not take advantage of the miracle of God's mercy. You will call out in vain, but it will be too late. So God, Jesus is giving us this teaching. Confession is a time that Jesus is giving you all the sufficient grace to be a better person. It's a miracle. We can understand. Just a blessed sacrament. Just a piece of bread. After consecration, become the body of Christ. How can we understand? And all the times we come to Holy Communion, Jesus said, I'm waiting. It's so much grace. It's really ready for you. Where are you? Where are you? Where is your soul? And worse, you consider me as nothing. And not only nothing, as a dead object. This is from Jesus' word. This is what we human beings are treating Jesus in this way. Jesus is not exaggerating. Jesus is speaking the truth of what we are. This part should be imprinted in our soul. So just repeat the word of Jesus to finish for today. The Lord said to me, it should be of no concern to you how anyone else acts. Mind your own business. Do your part. You are to be my living reflection through love and mercy. When you did love and mercy, people see God in you. And this is how you share. I answered, Lord, but they often take advantage of my goodness. That makes no difference, my daughter. That is no concern of yours. As for you, be always merciful towards other people, and especially toward sinners. Jesus, like to use this word, my own business. You just follow me. You see, Jesus telling Peter, the once Peter was asking Jesus, what about John? And then Jesus told Peter, your own business, whatever John will be in the future, you just follow me. The same word is telling Faustina, what are the people thinking about you? They're not listening to you. My own business. You just do as good as you are. Follow my word. Not just why. We ask too many whys. Very good, eh? It's a simple way of responding. Why? They take advantage of me. Many times you don't do good because they say why. Why not they and me? Oh, how painful it is, Jesus' word. Oh, how painful it is to me that souls so seldom unite themselves to me in Holy Communion. Not only at the time of adoration, even a time of adoration, a time of communion. And Jesus' words, I wait for souls that they are indifferent towards me. No, not that. No. I wait for souls, and they're indifferent towards me. I love them tenderly and sincerely, and they distrust me. I want to lavish my graces on them, and they do not want to accept them. As if we say, we don't need. Enough, enough. They treat me as a dead object, whereas my heart is full of love and mercy. In order that you may know at least some of my pain, imagine the most tender of mothers who has great love for her children, while those children spurn her love, reject. Consider her pain. No one is in a position to console her. If the mother is hurt, we don't understand a mother's love hurt so much. Even your consolation doesn't have much. Same way, how much Jesus hurt. This is but a feeble image and likeness of my love. So the mother's love is kind of image of God's love for each one of us. How much we were hurt, Jesus hurt. Write, speak of my mercy. Tell souls where they are to look for solace. That is, in the tribunal of mercy. That means the sacrament of reconciliation. There, the greatest miracles take part and incessantly repeated. To aware oneself of this miracle, it's not necessary to go on a great pilgrimage or to carry out some external ceremony. It suffices to come with faith to the feet of my representative and to reveal to him one's mystery, and the miracle of divine mercy will be fully demonstrated. It's so simple. If a humble heart come for confession, Jesus is there. Jesus give you all the graces you need. You don't have to go to Rome, to Jerusalem, to walk on the knee for the way to cross, or barefoot. Yeah, it helps. Of course, all these sacrifices, it helps. But most important, this trust. Would a soul like a decaying corpse, so that from a human standpoint, there would be no restoration and everything would already be lost? It's not so with God. If a body is dead, it's dead. It's a corpse, it's a corpse. But no, for the Lord, for a sinner, even like a corpse, because he will be in hell forever. But once he come up in the throne, before the throne of the mercy of God, in the confession, he's no more decaying. He's resurrected. He's risen. Oh, how miserable are those who do not take advantage of the miracle of God's mercy. You will call out in vain, but it will be too late. So you see, many times we make our confession once a year or every 2-3 years. You can imagine, you lose so many graces. God is there, and you think you can do it. You can do your best, but it's not enough. We need God's help. So we pray, God, and especially today, so Blessed Trinity. So this.